Welcome back to More Than Money on 770 CHQR. It is not tax season yet, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be thinking about it. Many markets are down so far this year, and there's been a lot of chit-chat about tax loss selling. So we've brought on a tax expert to discuss tax loss selling and how we are to navigate that. Jamie Gollenbach, Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC. Thanks for joining us, Jamie.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So it's been a wild start to the year, and you know, I don't know that there's a ton of gain out there right now, but we do have to start talking about it. I know that a lot of fund managers don't start to think and talk about this, or personal investors talk about it till later in the year. But there is starting to be some chit chat because there is losses that don't look like they're going to be recovered this year. So maybe you can give us a high level on essentially what tax loss selling is, first of all.
Well, absolutely. So look, this is usually a topic that we talk about in the media and on radio and on TV and all that at the end of the year, like literally in December, because in December you have an idea of what your financial picture for the year is, and consequently what your tax year looks like. So typically speaking, you would look at all your stocks and your bonds and your mutual funds, and what did you dispose of during 2022? You add that all up together and you see whether you're in a gain or a loss position. And if you're in a gain position, you say, okay, is there an opportunity now to realize some losses in that final month of the year in December to offset the gains and not pay the tax when you file your 2022 tax return? So here we're in a bit of a different scenario. And the reason, of course, that people are looking at it sort of midway through the year, kind of in July, is because markets have been down substantially, depending on what you're investing in particular. We've seen some sectors like information technology and some other ones that are down, you know, 50% or more, depending on the individual stock and when you bought it. So some investors are saying, well, maybe now I should do some tax loss selling. In other words, I should sell those investments now, take my capital loss, then I'll be able to use it. The problem with that, I mean, it can work, but the problem with that, of course, is you don't know your net position for 2022. And are you doing something that in the end may not be useful? Because yes, you can use those losses in the current year, but only against gains. So capital losses can only be used against capital gains. If you have no other gains this year, then you can take those capital losses and carry them back up to three calendar years. So that's 2021, 2020, and 2019 to recover any capital gains tax you paid in those years. Of course, if you have no gains in those years, not because you didn't make money, but because you didn't actually sell anything in those years, then those losses are available, but in the future. In other words, you can carry forward them indefinitely, which means there's no rush to sell right now. And that's why it's kind of uncertain whether it makes sense to do the loss selling right now for tax purposes. I will add, though, one thing. In the end of the day, we never make decisions for tax purposes. I mean, it's always a consideration, but ultimately it should be the investment decision. If you've got a stock or a fund that is down and you, in conjunction with your advisor, ultimately determine that it's over, this is not going to recover, it's not going to recover anytime soon, instead, I'm going to shift my asset, my money, into a different investment that I think has a greater potential for upside, or maybe it's a different asset class, like a GIC. Now that rates are over 4%, people are looking at maybe getting some secured, guaranteed investments, then yes, it can make sense right now to take those losses. But otherwise, you know, it's very hard to know what your position will be for 2022, still with so many months left to go.
Yeah, fair enough. Can you give us a little bit of insight on the superficial tax loss rules there? Because if you are taking a loss right now, right, there is rules to actually attain that loss for tax purposes. And that can, you know, give people some hesitancy and say, okay, if we're going to be out of the market or have to be out of the market, how long is that going to be as well?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And it's an issue that comes up, you know, usually at the end of the year, but we'll talk about it right now. The superficial loss rule is basically a rule that says if you sell a stock or a bond or a mutual fund at a loss, then that loss will be a superficial loss if you buy it back within 30 days. Now, there's some technicalities here. First of all, not just you buy it back, but your spouse or your partner buys it back, or a majority interest beneficiary trust buys it back. And what's an example of that? RSPs, TFSAs. Alternately, if your corporation buys it back, any of these affiliated persons buys it back within 30 days, the loss is denied. It's not lost forever, but it's added to the adjusted cost base of the stock that you just repurchased. So our general advice is if you are selling for a loss and you'd like to use that loss this year to be able to offset other capital gains or be able to carry it back, as we mentioned, to three prior years or even carry it forward, you want to make sure you don't buy back an identical security. And that's where the planning comes in. What is an identical security? Now, if we use, for example, shares of CIBC and you sell them and buy back shares of CIBC, clearly that's identical. The next step down, what if you have an ETF, an exchange-traded fund based on the S&P TSX 500 index, right? What if you buy that and it's in a loss position? Can you then sell that and buy back a different index fund or ETF? Well, CRI says no, because if it tracks the same index, at least in the Canada Revenue Agency's view, those are identical. And that's where we can start to get a little bit fancy. So for our clients that, for example, have a tech stock or a communication stock that's down 20, 30%, they want to use that loss, but they still want exposure, they could sell a single stock position in one of those losing companies, buy back, let's say, an ETF that tracks that sector, hold that for 30 days, and then on the 31st day, buy back the stock that they just sold. That's a way of round the rules because you're not buying identical properties, yet you're still getting exposure to the sector of the underlying stock in which you've just sold. So that's kind of the innovative ways that people are doing it. Similarly, if you've got a big blue chip, let's say Canadian equity fund from a mutual fund company A, you could sell that and buy the same fund from mutual fund company B. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be identical, because the weightings wouldn't be exactly the same. The structure, it's a different legal structure. That would probably be okay. It's where you have an index fund or ETF that the CRA considers them identical. So that's where it's really important to get some good advice, either from your investment advisor or even from your tax advisor or accountant, to make sure that the superficial loss, that 30-day rule, doesn't trip you up.
I think that's a great point that you just made there at the end too, that if you're investment advisor team or your who's managing your money is not talking with your tax team, that can be a huge issue. So for our listeners, what's the best tip, and how to make this strategy effective if you're going to use it?
Well, I think the most tip is to make sure you're coordinated, just you and your advisor, of course, and also you and your spouse or your partner, if you have one, and also their advisor. In the example that I just wrote about in this week's Financial Post column, I gave an example that was presented to the CRA at a recent conference where it turned out that the husband had sold some stock at a loss, but the wife had purchased it inside of her RSP. They use different advisors, different financial institutions. They don't talk to each other. And then one night at dinner at the end of the month, over dinner, it was determined that the husband sold something at a loss, which the wife just bought back in her RSP within the same 30 days. And so that was going to be a problem. So they tried to solve that, by some smart negotiation in terms of maybe, she doesn't sell it within 30 days or something like that. There's some things that one could do that I discussed in the column. But I mean, this is what happens if your team is not all working on the same side. And if you're not talking to each other.
So even household communication, the CRA is not going to look at that and say, no, you're free of that one. It's good to know. I like this question too. Is there a difference in approach for individuals versus corporations when it comes to tax loss selling?
Yeah, look, it's the same issue, right? You have a superficial loss rule, and that's really a problem. I mean, you've got to pay attention to it. And we see this often where individuals have a personal account and they also have a corporate account. Again, the affiliated person rule that I talked about, that 30-day rule, will capture you. So just because you sold it personally, you can't buy it back corporately or vice versa. So same issues, same things you need to be on top of. Very, very important.
And this is getting a little bit more technical, but is there an effective strategy of and when to use that in a corporation due to a CDA or the CDA rules?
Yeah, so the CDA, the capital dividend account, allows an individual ultimately to pay out a tax-free capital dividend. And that's typically comes from the tax-free portion of a capital gain. So that's where, again, you want to look at your whole tax loss selling, because a capital dividend account for a private Canadian corporation is really the sum of the non-taxable portion of all the gains less the sum of all the non-taxable portion of the allowable losses. So you got to be very careful, right? Because if you're incurring a loss in the corporation, that's going to reduce the capital dividend account. So we often say if you're doing some substantial loss selling in a corporation, you might want to check with your accountant, see the balance in the CDA, the capital dividend account, and maybe pay out a capital dividend the day before you realize that capital loss, because that capital loss could put your CDA account into the negative, which is fine. It just means you'll be precluded from paying yourself a tax-free capital dividend till that account is back at zero. So great point.
Yeah, I think that that is amazing advice. And I wanted to thank you for joining us and sharing your insight and expertise on this. And I think the biggest takeaway here is communication between your household and your team can have an effective strategy if you're going to use these rules here. So I wanted to thank you for joining us, Jamie.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jamie Gollenbeck, Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC. Taxes are a huge part of building your retirement plan, because taxes change as you transition to that next stage in your life. So we'll be talking about these strategies for taxes and how they factor into a successful retirement strategy moving forward for the next potentially 30 years. Join us for our next seminar Tuesday, August 16th, 7 p.m. live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. Thanks so much for joining us today. Remember, if you've missed any episodes or want to listen again, head to morethanmoneyradio.com. And we look forward to seeing you next Saturday on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.